Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's been another rough day for battered, bankruptcy-threatened Greece as European Union officials continue to toy with the idea of expelling the country from the EU.
Now, to stave off that disaster, leaders of Greece's two largest political parties pledged in writing today that they will stick to a punishing package of austerity measures approved by the Greek parliament on Monday.
Now, austerity. It's a word being batted around a lot, but in the context of people's lives, what exactly does it mean?
Americans are a continent away and an ocean away, so it's easy to talk about Greek austerity by the numbers. 20% unemployment, 3 billion euros worth of cuts to jobs, pensions, and services.
But on the streets of Athens itself, here's another definition of austerity, a human one.
I'm middle class, and I survive with great difficulty now, with all my savings going to pay my bills and to buy food.
That's the voice of a longtime Athens resident who could have been related to any one of our guests here today. Massachusetts has a sizable Greek community, and for them, austerity is not just talk. It's tangible, terrible, and having a real impact on their families, friends, and the lives of people in the Greek community here. So joining me now to tell us more about the real impact of Greece's economic crisis is Stamatis Astra. He's the host of a radio talk show called Grecian Echoes. He's also the founder of a medical device startup here in Massachusetts and chairs the fundraising committee for Boston University's classic journal, Orion. Stamatis grew up in Athens. Welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
Also with us is Alexandra Anthony. She's a Newton resident who hails from Athens originally. She's now a documentary filmmaker and film professor at the Rhode Island School of Design. Alexandra Anthony, welcome to you.
Thank you, Meghna.
And joining us as well is Christina Rigopoulos. She's a Greek-American student, a junior at Emerson College. Christina, welcome to Radio Boston.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I noted that the word austerity, maybe in a tragic irony, actually originates from the Greek, austeros, if I said that correctly, meaning harsh, rough, and bitter. So, Alexandra, describe to us the harsh, rough, and bitter life that's being experienced by members of your friends or family in Greece today.
Well, things have really changed, and they're changing every day so rapidly. But just from being in the city, the difference in 1 year of seeing how people are being affected, it's just sort of galloping downwards. In any case, you know, I have friends whose children have lost jobs. They've already left the country to seek employment in other European countries or even in Saudi Arabia. I have friends who are older, who this one particular friend who has to choose between her medication or buying groceries. I mean, it's finally trickled down to just about everyone. In the past, I think, 2-3 years, it was a vaguer, more abstract thing, but now it's actually affecting everybody, huh. Every single person.
And Stamatis, what have you been seeing, and what have people who listen or call into your radio program here, what are they telling you?
We see people that are hungry, and we see people that they hurt. The Greek people are proud, and it's very hurtful to see that, and I'm sorry, but it is. It's a very hurtful situation, and, you know, Greek Americans, it's a beacon of hope right now. People are looking at us to be united. We have our own problems, and we are notorious of having turfs, so this is the time for Greek Americans to be united. And unite the passion that we have for this country, the wonderful ideals, the wonderful culture. Greece belongs to the world, mm-hmm. And we have to have a tsunami of help to help our country.
Well, I want to talk a little bit more in a moment about sort of the response from Greek Americans here. But before I do that, let me turn to Christina briefly. And you live part-time in Athens and part of the time here?
Yes, that's correct. I live summers and Christmases in Greece overseas. And here I live
the rest of the time. And you have a family who are in Athens, right?
Yes, I have my grandparents. My mom's there now. She's been living there for 2 years. And then I have, you know, my friends that are living there that are having to deal with this.
And what do you have any sense of the particular impact that these austerity measures have had, say, on your mother or your grandparents?
My grandparents the most. You know, when they decreased retirement income by 20%, my grandpa used to make at a base income of 1,400 euros a month. That was lowered to below 1,200. And they cut all bonuses I used to get for Christmas and Easter and summer times. I've had friends whose parents have lost a lot of money in their salary, bonuses. My friend's mom lost her bonus was 2,000 and it was cut 1,700 euros. She only got 300 euros. It's just affecting everybody, and I see it every day, every time I'm there, and it just gets worse and worse.
Hmm. Well, listeners, this is just the start of the conversation, but I wonder, do you have relatives in Greece? And if so, what's life like for them now? And when you hear the stories from our guest today about the hardship and confusion being experienced not just in Athens but all over the country, does it sound like maybe necessary suffering to pull Greece back from the economic brink or not? And the big question that I'm wondering here is, how should ethnic communities in the greater Boston area react when home countries fall into economic turmoil? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. Alexandra, there's something that you mentioned about sort of the cascading nature of the economic crisis in Greece. I mean, there's 20% unemployment. I was reading that half of young people are unemployed. Mm-hmm. You're a documentary filmmaker, and so you're always constantly looking through that lens as well. Are you seeing that there's sort of a worry for the future of the nation?
Yeah, it's that's the most one of the most troubling things is that this whole new generation of Greeks, not only the young kids but teenagers and people in their 20s, really see no hope for any growth, improvement, or any light at the end of the tunnel, and you know, people are owed money. Even people who have jobs are owed money. I have a cousin who was working for Vodafone, which is one of the cell phone companies there. He was overqualified to begin with, but he was making something like 600 euros a month, which you can barely live on. Anyway, he was laid off. He has sent out 300 resumes, and there's no work. Mm. And here's a 30-year-old man trying to make his way in the world. But it's just this depression and this bleakness about and this fear and uncertainty about how this thing's going to play out. But people right now, I think, are kind of paralyzed, especially this week.
This week, with the latest round of austerity measures being passed.
With all the riots, the austerity measures, and even today, the troika, three European lenders, making more demands, even on top of the demands that were made and agreed to on Sunday.
Right, which include a 22% cut in the minimum wage, the agreement to cut 150,000 government jobs by 2015, mm-hmm. amongst others. Christina Stamatis, I'll come back to you, but Christina, I mean, you are the young person here in this conversation. You're a Greek-American. You have the option to go back to Greece when you finish at Emerson. I mean, at this point, you're shaking your head no already.
No,
you wouldn't do it.
Even before all this happened. You know, Greece, it's not a place to go and, like, look for work. I mean, look at my friends now. They're all taking into consideration going abroad, going to England, going to Australia, even trying to come to America for education, for, you know, masters. I have friends who have masters who can't find jobs. I mean, it's just not a good situation as it is.
How does that make you feel, though? I mean, I can hear also when you talk a strong sense of Greek identity, but you don't want to go back.
Greece is a place to go spend your money, not make your money, as it has become now. You know, it's a beautiful country. It's a place to go and have fun with your friends, but you can't go and try and make a living. Any Greek will be proud of who they are, mm-hmm. regardless of the situation, no matter what.
Okay, so Stamatis, when you hear that, I mean, this is the voice of Greece's next generation. Christina's already here. Alexandra has been saying that many of her friends have young people who are leaving because there is no opportunity in Greece. As a member, as a leader of the Greek community here, I mean, does that give you concern, or is there a way to sort of rally the community?
Yes, absolutely. Number one, we have to face the fact there is a brain drain in Greece, and it's a shame. Number two, all the Greek people, they're very hardworking, and you see people in diaspora that are very successful, and it's because of the Greek state that really suppresses the entrepreneurship of the Greek people, that they don't, that don't, doesn't give the tools to be successful. That's important. So as a Greek community here, there is already grassroots efforts to try to have Greek-American companies to start outsourcing in Greece. Why just outsource in India? And why just outsource in Bulgaria or in Ukraine? There is just a couple of individual CEOs and people that they own Greek-American companies that they just throw this idea around and it started becoming more evolved. There is the mass challenge here, which is allows for companies all over the world to come. So there is an effort for Greek companies with new ideas. The Greek universities, Greek scientists, they have great ideas, and they come and they participate in, there was a Greek company that got the first prize in an MIT innovation competition last week. Same thing we're trying to do over here. So we're trying to, there must be a way to help and give back in an organized fashion. There is, it's laced with people don't trust. There is a minimal trust right now.
People in Greece?
People in Greece and people here in the States, there's a gap of trust. So we need to find a common way that we link. We have a trusted authority. So the help, either that's private help or it's a church or is it charities that they want to give back money, there must be a way that things are reach the people who really need it.
Alexander, do you have a thought about that? This idea that there's a way for the Greek American community to have, you know, some kind of feedback to Greece as it is now.
Absolutely. I think what Stamatis is saying is really valid, and I think we just have to be more imaginative about how to release some of this energy that's there. And there's so many competent, hardworking, intelligent people in Greece who want to do the right thing and want to just be able to participate in life today and have so much to offer. And this is the heartbreak where there is no opportunity, and there hasn't been for a long time, but now it's just completely peaking.
Christina, your thoughts?
Something that's interesting about that is that even within the Greek population, even the youth who alone, 50% of them are unemployed, you will still find Greek young people trying to bring money back into the Greek state. I have friends that say, we should try and get everyone to buy Greek products and only Greek products. I was in Greece in December, and there was this new beer called Volkan. They were selling it for $2.50 at the supermarket, and all over the bottle it said debt-free Greece. And the point of it was that for the 1 euro that each bottle made, 50 euro cents would go back into the Greek state. Mm-hmm. And it was all Greek beer. It was made from volcanic rock from Santorini. And it's just, even that, it's small, and, if that could work, that would be great. But you can see that there is some sort of effort. Whether it's small or not, there is something there.
Well, so the beginnings of grassroots effort, which, as you say, it sounds small, especially in the face of the fact that the Greek government is looking for €130 billion, which is about $170 billion bailout from the European Union. There's a lot to talk about, though, and I do want to open up an opportunity for our listeners to join us. We are talking with members of the Greek American community here in Massachusetts about their feelings and their observations and the impact that Greece's economic turmoil has had on them. You can join us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. And I'm curious to know what listeners think about what any ethnic group should do when they look back at their home countries and see economic collapse on the horizon. Let's take a call from Hamilton. Kathy's on the line. Welcome to Radio Boston, Kathy.
Thank you very much. I just wanted some clarification. One of your speakers was saying that about the grandparents' bonuses being cut and the friends' bonuses being cut. And to me, having a bonus be cut doesn't really sound like an austerity measure unless they mean bonus in a different way than I'm thinking of it.
Kathy, thank you so much for your call. That came from Christina. Do you want to just elaborate a little?
Well, that's just a small example. The base income itself was cut 20%. I'm just talking about extras that have been cut. Bonuses are included, as well as the actual income that they make.
It's a tradition in Greece to call a stipend a bonus. So the caller is correct. The terminology really is a stipend. And the Greek state, unfortunately, has spent much more money than they could afford. And part of the reason is that they were very imaginative, giving money to people for political favors. And it's number one, it's a political crisis, and that has become an economic crisis.
Well, let me ask you about that, because I think something that Kathy's question sort of gets at is standing here in Massachusetts in the United States, maybe even people in the Greek community here look back upon Athens and say, look, tax evasion is a pastime among certain members of the Greek community there. There's a political situation that has led to this economic crisis. So it was inevitable that the fix isn't necessarily a monetary one, that, you know, in that way, the people of Greece in part are responsible for how the nation has ended up. I mean, Alexandra?
Absolutely. It's so complex. And this is, I think all of us have been trying so hard to figure it out. Just, you know, we're not economists, at least I'm not, trying to figure out the economics. Then, you know, we're familiar from being Greeks about how the politics work, how business works. It's not like it is here. Things work in a very different way. Byzantine is a word that comes to mind. People just try to make do with what they have. There hasn't been a lot of growth and opportunity for way before this crisis. And when Greece joined the euro, that was part of the hope that they would be elevated and have avenues open that weren't open before. Just lost my train.
Sorry, Stamatis, go ahead.
From an economic point of view, it is a Soviet-style economy, period. You cannot sugarcoat it. 70% of the GDP comes from the government. There's major private industries that their only customer is the government. You cannot have a globalized global economy run like that. End of story. Tax evasion is an issue, and the root of the problem is that there's no punishment. The judicial system, it takes years to have a decision, and most of the people, they know they're going to get away. The same people that they do business abroad, they pay their taxes. And it has to do with there's a lack of judicial punishment. The laws are there, the laws are perfect, but just the system, it doesn't punish anybody who wants to get away, so people just get away. And you got to change the politics. You cannot have this client-based relationship with your constituents. That's everybody who is involved in politics knows what I'm talking about, but you cannot run a whole country like that. It has to stop.
Christina, did you have a thought on that?
Well, yes, going back to what the caller talked about, I mean, the pension income cut, you know, that's just one thing, but, you know, minimum wage was cut 30%. People used to make 600 euros and now they're making below 450 euros, while the cost of living itself has gotten higher. I mean, what I said earlier was just a simple example.
Okay. Let's take another call. Stella is calling from Canton. You're on the air, Stella.
Yes, hi. I am a Greek-American, and I've been listening to the show, and I find that there's a major issue that's been overlooked. And I really think the root cause of the problem in Greece is the fact that the government is so corrupt, that even placing, austerity measures and tax evasion, all of this is fueled by the fact that no one in the government has gone to jail. People have no faith in the government, hence people do not want to pay taxes, and there is absolutely no competition in Greece because of it. And I think this is really the root cause. It's a mentality of to each his own, and however we can pad our own pockets.
Stella, I have a question for you, because I feel like this is a theme that comes up amongst many ethnic communities, because many of the best and brightest minds in various generations leave exactly for this reason, that the opportunities aren't there at home. They feel like there's a sense of corruption and insider game that prevents them from advancing. So as Stamatis says, you have brain drains that happen. Do you see, is there any way for the Greek-American community here then to maybe sort of turn around and lead the way in maybe sort of starting to rectify the political situation in Greece? Is there any way at all?
Well, I think, first of all, you need to gain the confidence of the people. And in order to do that, someone needs to leave and go to jail. No one has been put in jail. And people feel, I think you can do is
I think you need to have the people gain confidence in the government. Mm. Now, you know, the grants are going to people who knows this official. Every time there's a government change, all the jobs swap out. It's a very inefficient way to run a country. And I think that the way of government needs to change, and the people in government have to change. Only then, when people gain some confidence, will they want to pay the tax money in.
Stella, thank you so much for your call. Stamatis, do you agree with that? I mean, that
100%, one word, leadership. Lack of leadership. Corruption is absolutely correct. That's the client-based relationship between the parties and the people. Unbelievable corruption. Again, no accountability. People don't go to jail. And leadership. There's a lack of trust right now in the Greek community, in Greece and in diaspora. We raise money here. The church has done a great job raising money, a national-wide campaign tried to raise money. There is cynicism where the money is going to go. And the caller is absolutely correct, and you need leadership.
Hmm. Let me take a step back here for a moment, if I can, because, you know, I'm hearing the word lack of trust, cynicism, corruption, vanishing opportunity, brain drain. I mean, these are very negative and heavy adjectives to be applying to not only a nation's leadership, but the nation itself. And I wonder, what is that sort of sense of negativity and pessimism doing in the psychology of the Greek-American community here? I mean, we're talking about the nation that you and your forebears came from. Alexandra?
Well, first of all, it's mortifying to be hearing this every day on the radio, reading about it in the papers, where I think for a while now also there's been this sort of, it felt to me as a kind of spin on the character of the Greek people, you know, who brought this on themselves, and sort of that divide of South and North, and the Nordic neighbors being very responsible and the Southerners just being lazy and not working at all. So, you know, that hurts as a perception. And so, you know, I think we try, as Greeks and Greek Americans here, try to sort of change that and make people understand that this could happen here, has happened here in certain ways.
It's not that far.
And that Greece is really the canary in the coal mine. Other countries are in very similar situations, but for some reason it's played out in this Greek stage.
Well, in the last couple of seconds we have, I want to give the last thought to Christina as the young person here. It sounds like you're not going back to Greece. Has this crisis, this economic crisis, sort of shifted your sense of what it means to be Greek? No. Shockingly enough, no. I mean, I'll be going back to Greece every summer and Christmas to have a good time, but it hasn't. Any Greek person is proud, and whether it's this situation and when it goes away, I'm going to still be proud Greek.
On the other hand, it sounds like your nation, you're exactly the kind of person that the nation might need to be in Greece.
Of course.
Christina Rigopoulos is a Greek-American student from Emerson College. Thank you so much for joining us today,
Thank
Christina.
You.
And Alexandra Anthony, a documentary filmmaker and professor at the Rhode Island School of Design. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
And Stamatis Astra, radio host of Grecian Echoes and chairman of the fundraising committee for Orion, a new journal on the humanities and classics from BU. Thank you so much for joining us as well.
My pleasure.